We are here today on the 13th day of March, 2016, and it is my privilege to be here on behalf of Yeshua and his never-ceasing love and devotion to everyone within the human race and all of the life on this earth, to lift it to a higher octave of possibility. And that's what we do here. This is a special day for me also. It is very special. On March the 12th of 1992, The Lamb and the Lion was completed. And on the 13th of March, I showed it to the first other person. So, in many ways, this is a great celebration for me and an anniversary. And let's see, how many years would that be? 24 years to the day. So, 24 years ago today, I had the first people come in my living room and experience the energetic spiritual blessings that flowed from that painting. And today, we are still reaching around the world with love in our hearts, the most positive intention from our consciousness and our soul to be the essence of resurrection that Yeshua began 2,000 years ago and has continued forward. We think, so often we think that the Christ is risen, and that was a unique event. What he did is he broke the boundary, the barrier of human evolution that had become very stagnant in dysfunctional and actually quite harmful and discreditable actions that so dominated the world at that time. The best you could find anywhere would just be a morally honest person, a decent person, a fair person, someone who would tell the truth and do honest business and raise their families with integrity. But that was about the best you could find anywhere on this earth at that time. Human evolution had actually come to a stagnant halt. And somehow, the thick barrier, the dark net that had been placed over humanity had to be lifted or torn or penetrated with the light of his resurrection. But he never actually meant to be the singular person who would experience a resurrection of a soul. This is something he set in motion for all of us to experience from that time on. And the whole of our Christian heritage, as well as what has been discovered by others in other belief reference points, beliefs, faith, cultures, all of us leading forward into a higher place for the soul within the human experience. And that's what we're here today to accelerate, to take that one step further, not only for you or me, or anyone related to you or me, but by extension for the whole earth, just as Yeshua in his resurrection of the soul extended human possibility beyond where it had ever been before. So those are my opening lines for today. And now I would like to turn this over to some community interaction. And I see we have Susan on the line. Hi, Susan. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. Oh, I had a very interesting week. I went to the doctor. It was like a little wild. I went to the doctor and she's saying, oh, these numbers are really low. We have to do this fast. So she gave me a bone marrow and I had the PET scan this week and a million other tests. And next week I'm meeting with her to discuss because I'm finally, I guess I need to surrender to medical treatment. And, that's a challenge for me, giving it over to God and saying, it's in your hands. I went 4.5 years with this. And she was very good about it, letting me do it. And now it's time to, take another, do something else.
Well, Susan, you can do both. God works through everyone. Everyone. And sometimes, what the venue that causes us to surrender is the venue that works. Sometimes we actually can build our defenses, and I'm not saying ego defenses in the sense of self-glorification, but still in the sense that we can become extremely affectionate toward a particular belief we have and a particular strength we've had that caused us to have more confidence in ourselves and more strength and courage, and we hold on to those things. But we can hold on to them to the point that then they become a limited point of focus. And something else needs to come in to bring us back into a state of surrender. And I have seen this happen many, many times with myself and with other people. And so what is the dynamics of what is happening for you is that you're being brought into a state of surrender to where you're willing to look at the bigger, broader aspect of what will work to restore the wholeness of your life. Because we can become, whether we have some form of cancer, or whether we have heart trouble or high blood pressure or lupus or any of it, Parkinson's or any number of physically named ailments, what they all have in common is that they only focus on a part of our being. The whole of our being is bigger than any disease. And I want all of you to hear that. The whole of our being is bigger than any disease, any problem, any challenge, anything that could ruffle our feathers. The whole of our being is bigger than any form of appearance in life that looks negative to us. Because the whole of our being is nothing but positive energy of light and the representation of God moving through us. And what can happen when we focus sometimes too long on, I want a cure for this, or I want a particular job, or I want a particular amount of money, or I want a particular solution, or I want a mate, or I want to have a baby. We focus on these particular desires or needs to the point that we make ourselves smaller than we are. And only by surrendering do we then have the courage to become the whole that we are. It's kind of ironic that we become bigger by surrendering. But on the soul level, that's exactly what happens. On the physical level, even then, I was remembering a conversation I was having with my husband. And we weren't exactly arguing in the sense of fighting, but we were having a heated debate about a particular topic. And we were each holding on to our own viewpoint. And he actually held a stronger conviction that he was right and I needed to listen. And he just said, stop talking right now. just stop talking. I want you to hear everything I have to say. And then after I said everything I have to say, if you've got something left to say, then you can say it. In other words, he broke down that dialogue mode. He just caused me to surrender and listen. So I listened to him, and after I listened to him, I realized that we were mostly in agreement. There was just one little point that I had something to add to. And after I completely listened to him, then I took my little opportunity to respond, and he said, I can see that you feel that way about it, and I respect that. In other words, we didn't get to the big picture until one of us made the other surrender. Because what were we doing is we were holding tight to our unique perspective. Even though we weren't exactly fighting, Larry and I don't fight. We just don't. That's not part of our relationship. But we can have some pretty strong debates at times. And that just happened to be one of them. And sometimes you and I, all of us, can have this kind of debate with God, this kind of debate with our destiny, this kind of debate with some challenge that comes to bear on us. And we get so strongly into that debate that we focus into it and focus and focus and focus until we actually make ourselves have a narrower point of view. So, Susan, this may be your opportunity to surrender, get a bigger point of view, and at the same time, let God work his miracles. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to respond, because even though other people on this call don't have your particular challenge, I would guess that everybody on this call has had some kind of challenge in their life that could be more easily explained and resolved by what I just told you. So God bless you. My prayers are with you. We'll hold you in the blessing, and we know that all is well and all will be well for you.
God,
okay?
Those incredible oils. Woo!
Yes, they are. So, bye-bye, Susan, and I'm going to see if anybody else is on our board that has a question or a comment, someone you want to bless or offer a blessing to. Okay, hi, is this Desmond? I'm sorry, whoever it was, you'll have to log back on. I accidentally knocked you off the board when I opened your call line. So I'm going through again looking for more people interested in speaking. All right, now we've got it. Hi.
Hi, Glenda.
Hey, Desmond.
I wanted to, ask you about, many people have debates over what the resurrection means in their life and the meaning of it and the experience of it. How do you experience it, and what does it mean to you?
What does the resurrection in my life mean?
Yeah.
Well, for me, that's a very, very relevant question for what I have been going through. Since about November the 1st, on November the 1st, Yeshua and I had a similar situation with a dialogue. Shall we say a dialogue? Never, never, ever an argument, because I have too much glorious respect for everything he says. But I did have some questions about why some of the things I wanted to do were not progressing the way they needed to. And he said, look within your life for the answers. And I kept pointing back to him that, well, I know ultimately that's where the answers lie, but can't you just give me a little perspective? Can't you give me just some idea, some insight? Well, he didn't like that I was doing that. And he pushed me really hard into my life. Really hard. Kind of like tough love. not in a mean way, not in an uncaring way, but he pushed me. And from that point on, I have been going through a great deal of inner confrontation where I have been discovering something that I needed to discover deeply. And I've been catching up on 24 years of riding on the wave above where most people suffer. I don't know any other way to say that, but the fact is, from the time Yeshua came into my life, I have walked on this higher plane with him that in many ways, not all the time, but in many ways, it took me above the turbulence of life. Even when I had illnesses, they would heal faster. I would know for certain I would be fine in a few days. Even when I had major surgery that would take most people weeks, if not months, to heal from, I was getting through the worst of it in 3 or 4 days. It seems as though the energy of life to which I had been taken, this golden ray of light that he had given me to work with, to communicate and lift other people up with, for writing the books, for doing the seminars, had taken me to a point where I didn't have the kind of answers that come when a person hasn't suffered their way up to an answer. And he knew that I needed to go back and walk on the earth for a little while. I needed to go back and experience what it feels like to wake up in the morning with some aches and pains and to not know where our monthly income would come from, to not know how I would deal with particular situations, and in the midst of all of it, to have connections with other people who were suffering, who would ask me for help, and would I have the courage to put them ahead of myself, even when I was suffering. In other words, he gave me a Mother Teresa formula. He said, okay, you go do this. Then you come back and we'll talk. And that's where I've been, my friends, since about the 1st of November. And for me, so Desmond, when you ask the question about personal resurrection, it's a very, very potent, relevant question for me right now. I have been experiencing waves of resurrection, and what I'm finding is that when we pull ourselves up from the core level on which the average person on earth lives, we cannot resurrect the soul without first admitting that the soul is divine. And under no circumstances could it ever be in this plane of existence. It comes here for one reason only, and that is service and compassion. That's the only reason the soul ever descends to the level of human duress, the dark night of the soul, the challenges of darkness or fear or anxiety or grief. The soul only comes here for service and compassion. That's what Yeshua came here for, service and compassion. And when we can embrace our service and our compassion at that level, what happens is the soul begins to experience resurrection one level at a time, moving up with it everyone it carries with it. Just like Yeshua on the cross looked over at the thief that was hanging beside him And he said, this day you will go with me to paradise. He would sit with the beggars. He would heal them. He would sit with the lepers. He would have supper with anyone who would invite him in. He would have their meal, and it didn't have to be a special meal. But he would bless it, and then he would transform everyone who ate food with him. He offered his body and his blood for people to take into their being, that when they took him into their life, they too would experience resurrection.
Glenda, and that's kind of what I like about Yeshua most, that what you're saying about him, and that's always something that's not usually the pivotal focus of a church or something, and you know, that I don't know how to realize that in my own life, but sometimes I make myself feel small because that's just so awesome, of compassion and service, of Yeshua's soul's purpose.
And he left us with that, because in order to be like him, what are the two commandments he gave us?
To love God with all our hearts and our neighbors as ourselves.
Okay. To love our neighbors as ourselves, that's compassion and service. Right? And to love God with all our heart is to remember that our soul, no matter where it is, no matter how deeply it's plunged into the challenge of life, is still created in the image of God. That the soul can be resurrected out of anything, under any condition, under any circumstance. And some of the greatest people who've ever lived discovered exactly that. They may have discovered it in a prison camp. They may have discovered it in the midst of war or battle. They may have experienced it in almost on their deathbed, and the soul was resurrected, and thereby the body was healed. The soul is resurrected through its love of God, and then we are perfected in our reason for being on earth through service and compassion. And so this is the path I've been traveling since the 1st of November, and it has had a transformative effect upon my life, upon the work I do. And of course you don't know the big question I was asking Yeshua, and that is, I have all the messages that he has given through the blessing calls. I know what to say and write in the great book of blessings. I know what it will be named, and yet I would start to write, and for the first time in my life I had writer's block. And I kept asking him, why is this happening? What do I need to know? Why do I keep getting blocked on this? Can't you just write through me? Can't you just come through me? That's really what I was asking him on November the 1st. And he just pushed me right into the problem. And the problem is that we cannot fully bless one another until we have embraced one another with compassion and been willing to live life as others have lived it, with the same feeling and compassion they lived it with. This is why the Son of God incarnated. This is why he came to be among us, so that he could live as we live. He suffered as we suffered. He died as we died, and then he demonstrated the resurrection of the soul. And he left a path we can all follow. You may wonder, well, why did the apostles have to suffer? They didn't. They didn't have to suffer. They could have. They could have just continued walking on the golden thread that he left them with. You know that being with him for those years they worked and they studied and they learned with him was like walking on a golden cloud. And they could have stayed on that golden cloud. They could have taught people. They could have healed people. They could have even built a church from on top of that golden cloud. But they had the courage to descend through that cloud like drops of rain down to the earth, to walk on the earth, feet in the mud, walking with people being with them and even willing to be martyred and to give their life at the very end of their life, but leave behind a legacy of transfiguration, transformation, and miracle that has never left the earth. A pattern of behavior that we can all follow today. Now, what I really, really had intended for my message today happened anyway. And thanks to Susan and Desmond, it just happened. And I'll conclude with the subject I wanted to talk about, and that is that I wanted to talk about the energetic nature of our bodies. Because by understanding the energetic nature of our bodies, we form a bridge between this physical entity that can suffer and be sad and be afraid and grieve, and the soul that can at any time experience resurrection. I just want to remind you that if you took any object that you're seeing anywhere in your room, it could be a pencil, it could be a leaf from a plant, it could be your own big toe, and you looked at it under an electron microscope, it would become a cloud of particles. It would cease to be an object. There actually is no such thing as a solid object at the level where we can examine the particle constituency of it, and we can see the particle nature of it. Everything is simply energy. But what is so special about the different aspects of life is that living energy has the ability to grow and change. And there are patterns of evolution even within that. Because we look at the trees outside, we see the plants, and we know they go through their life cycles, they can grow and change, but they don't really move location unless you put them in a pot and you move them. We see animals can, the birds and the puppy dogs and the kitties and the lizards and the snakes and the frogs, they all move about and they change their environment. But they don't really change their basic nature in the sense that you and I can. And so there's a pattern upward through all of life leading further and further upward to God. This is why we need to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, because it reminds us of our special place in this universe, that God is really moving through us to become the next point of growth in the universe, the next point of observation, and you are more changeable. You are more subject to resurrection and growth and adaptation and transcendence than any other form of life. And so in this blessing, in the Christ blessing, what we are doing is we're making available to you the energy of Christ, the energy of the Holy Spirit, and the perfect, pure energy of God the Creator, so that they can move their energy through you and make adjustments for the most perfect pattern that you could have for your life right here and now. And while you're receiving, that's exactly what you're doing. You'll be sitting in a chair. Please have your arms and legs uncrossed. Shut down your analytical mind, because it can't possibly understand this. Just drop into your heart. Just be a blank slate in your heart. And that's where you'll pray as you receive the blessing. You can pray for anything that you can feel in your heart. After the blessing is over, then I want you to go and rest and receive for at least 7 minutes. It's during the receiving phase that all that has been given to you will be assimilated into your body, heart, soul, and being, or into the people around you or the environment around you. You may notice that the environment starts changing after your blessing. And this is why it's so important to do this week after week after week. Let it accumulate. Let your life become the new vessel for the Spirit of God on earth. So if you will be seated, bare feet, and head uncovered, unless it's by your face that you need to cover your head, and if so, let it be a natural substance. We do this because we know that this energy is being anchored into the earth, deep into the earth, and it's coming from the highest place in the kingdom of the heavens. We are a link in that chain, and let us become a strong link through this blessing. Let us become a strong link between God and earth, between God and our fellow man, between God and all of life, and between God and infinite possibility for what can come next in your life and in life around you. I will say my prayer to Yeshua, and then I would ask that the blessing givers stand with me, and we will conduct the blessing for everyone on this call, for everyone who has been prayed for in these prayers, and for everyone on this earth. Dear Yeshua, we are so grateful that in your appearance on earth, you showed us how to be both human and divine, with both possibilities embracing us and carrying us into a complete person, that we may be of compassion and service to our fellow man, and at the same time be a child of God who is a bridge between heaven and earth. We ask that you strengthen this chain, this link that we are between God and earth, that you heal us, restore our life, our sense of purpose, our reason for being, that you make us a strong force of love, a strong force of health and healing energy for everyone around us. We ask that you bless those who don't know how to ask, because in their soul they are asking. We ask that you give hope to those who have lost faith, that they may rediscover who they really are. We ask for your blessing and your peace upon those who are living troubled lives, that they may be lifted beyond and out of the trouble. Even though the trouble may continue, that they may discover that they are so much more than anything that can cause them harm or anxiety. We ask that you be with each one of us now to receive all the blessings that you have come to us today to offer. And we offer to you in return our deepest love, and we receive with our truest faith. Amen. Blessing givers, let us begin. your blessing is complete. Now go and rest and receive all that God has given you. Just know that you are very loved by God, and I love you too. I look forward to being with you again next week and in many weeks thereafter. Bye-bye for now.